Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man. It is good to have you listening on a Wednesday. We got a lot to get to, a lot to talk about this afternoon. We're going to talk to our man John Heyman as we'll go around MLB coming up next hour. Also, a little bit later on, guys, and Mike, we're going to get our guy Connor Riley on today. We are chasing Calvin Ridley. Hopefully we can track him down and maybe grab him for a few minutes as well today. Man, I'll say this, Mike. You know, we talked all about the Braves last night, or at least before the game last night, talking about our concerns, our worries. We're a little bit nervous. And then the irony of what happened last night, where the pitcher wins, literally wins the game. Hey, I'm going to pitch seven innings. You guys don't worry. I'm going to go ahead and hit two. What about Oscar Yanoa last night, Mike?
Yeah, it kind of reminds you, and I think Dave O'Brien said this on Twitter, it reminds you of like Little League, you know, when the best player on the team was the pitcher. When he's not pitching, he's either playing catcher or center field, and he also hits all the home runs. Yeah, Yanoa was a one-man gang, and you and I were talking about this today. It wasn't like he just blew over the fence. This wasn't like, you know, a Yankee Stadium home run. This is the deepest part of the National Stadium up there in D.C.
He was like, I'll take that. And then, let's be
honest. He looked at it. He admired his
way. Yes. He pimped it, right? A little bit. I mean, I'm okay with this. Guys, pitchers don't hit home runs like this, let alone a grand slam. But, you know, for the Braves to win the way they did, yeah, Mike, I thoroughly enjoyed watching it. But I will say this. Where's Freddie Freeman? Where's Marcell Ozuna? 0 for 4 last night for Freeman. 0 for 5. Ozuna, and I know he's coming close. You know, Snit talked about it. Oh, he's close. Well, and then Riley last night 0 for 4 after we thought Riley might be getting going. Now, right. You're going to have these games, guys. You're going to have 0-4, 0-4, 1-4 games. But the problem is this has become more of the norm lately, Mike, for the meat of our lineup.
Right. I mean, Acuna's on MVP path. We know that. First guy to 10 home runs in the show right now. But you're exactly right. Freeman and Ozuna, your 2 and 3 guys, are not really doing the job. I mean, it's not like Ozzy's tearing the cover off the ball. He's batting 232. You know, we've talked about Dansby. I mean, it's almost like it's acceptable that he bats 225 around here. But yeah, man. And again, Austin Riley, and we'll talk to, you know, we've talked about this with John Heyman, about other guys who've said, you know, it's kind of, hey, let's see what this kid can do. Otherwise, they may have to look at other guys. But look, the mantra we're rolling with is, hey, it's still early. Okay, well, now it's May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. Happy Cinco de Mayo. And by the way,
Cinco de Mayo!
We will be drinking tequila on this show.
And you know how.
And, you know, by the way, just as a sidebar, you know, Facebook, I'm not public with my Facebook, but I it gives you those, like, back in the day. I found the photos from, like, 5 years ago today.
Ooh.
Dude, first off, I don't even know if it's okay for you to have a sombrero on your head. That might be cultural appropriation. Secondly, we're surrounded by scantily clad women pimping tequila and beer. We were at the Canelo fight in Vegas. It's up there at Mike Bell ATL.
Canelo!
And it, Carl.
Canelo!
It took me to such a happy place. A, I won the Kentucky Derby trifecta that year, remember?
You did.
You and I,
well,
you and I
you
killed
said
it.
To me, do you want to get in on the Kentucky
yes.
Derby? And I was like, and then you hit, I'm not going to put your business out there. Well, it's packed. IRS has done it. They don't care. I think
right.
It was a couple of grand. Am I right? A couple of grand?
I won over $2,000 on that, yeah. on a $150 box trifecta. But no, we went to the club. We were hanging out with our buddy Dr. Tim.
Right.
We were all over the place. We went to the best steakhouse in town. And the best part of this, Carl, you and I were a combined 50 pounds lighter in 2016.
It's true. It was before.
Look at you and me.
Before coronavirus. You're
right. Look more like Tomlin than Tomlin.
Yeah, I was in shape, man. I'm getting back. I'm trying to get back, Mike. I know, but it is Cinco
de Mayo. And again, we will be celebrating, and the Braves got the win yesterday. But now, as we said, we need everybody else that you just talked about to start hitting, because sooner or later, it's going to be like, okay, when do we kick it into gear? Let me ask you this. What is a line of demarcation? Because the Nats got off to that brutal start 2 years ago, and we know how it finished for them. When do you really, really, I sound like Fricky, when do you really, really start to get worried about this team?
Really, really, as we get into June. July 1st is always, for me, the date where you kind of know what your team is. April, May, June, you are getting into the 1st of July, and you know. By the All-Star break, you know. That's mid-July. You know what your team is. You know where your deficiencies are. And that's why the trade deadline is where it is located, because it gives teams an opportunity to say, all right, we need to make a move. We need to do something to improve our team. I don't know how much we are going to have to do between now and the trade deadline to improve this team. But the pressure's on Alex Anthopoulos, and I'm not saying that to scare him or anything. He knows this. And I'm not saying it for Brian Snicker, who got an extension, in my opinion, was the manager of the year last year. Snick can only run out the guys that they give him, okay? That's Alex's job. But the guys he's running out there, at least right now, from a pitching standpoint, you kind of scratch your head. Think about this, Braves fans. Oscar Yanoa is your best pitcher on this staff right now. Not Charlie Morton.
Right.
Okay?
It's definitely not Drew Smiley.
It's not Smiley. It's not Freed. I know Ian Anderson has had a couple of starts, but now this guy's 3-1 with a 2.3 ERA, Mike. And oh, by the way, yeah, I'll go ahead and get a couple of hits because he's gone back-to-back games where he's hit a home run. So in a crazy world where you go, yeah, he'll be a long relief guy, he's been your best starting pitcher. So there's some things we do need to find out about this team. But for me, Mike, it is the end of this month. You get into June, but by the 1st of July, depending on what the standings are and how guys are performing, is when you start to go, all right, we really need to do something. Now, remember, 2 years ago, 19, right, when we made all those deals for the bullpen, it was in 2019. So we know Alex Anthopoulos is not afraid to cut the cord and pull the trigger. But how much is he going to be able to do that? I want to remind people.
All right.
Baseball says they lost $2.9 billion last year because of coronavirus. Not just baseball, every team. So for all the spending that the Dodgers do, and now all of a sudden the Yankees are hot again, and the teams that you expect to be in contention, how much is he going to be able to do? That's the question.
Right. I mean, if you're going to, and you and I said it, start five is kind of a big one. I mean, I don't know if they've got a line in their mind when Smiley's got to get it in gear, but they might have to cut bait. That's $11 million out the window. You got to go to Liberty with your hat in hand and say, we need more money. Ooh. And let's be honest. I mean, 19, we took on some salary. I'm not going to deny it. I'm not always bagging, Liberty Media for being like, Ebenezer Scrooge, but the problem was following 19, we didn't get more starting pitching. Cole Hamels flamed out. They needed to go reinvest in more starting pitching once they realized they had a dead duck in Cole Hamels. That's my beef last year. This year, maybe we just get things get rolling. Freed will get the start. He'll start feeling it. Soroka, but you and I said, big if. Soroka comes in and can do it. Hey, by the way, just to go back to the Nats, I found the numbers. At their worst, Carl, on May 23rd, they lost 1, 2, 3. They lost 5 in a row. They were 12 games under 500. They were 19-13 on May 23rd. And then, of course, remember, the Nats never got the division from us, but they did win 9 out of 10, and they got in the wild card, and the pitching staff, the rest is history. Their third baseman bankrolled that into a nice contract for himself. But, yeah, man, so that's if you're looking for a sign of, like, when do we have to start? All right, let's, boys, give it the Spurs. That's how bad things were for the Nationals, and they won the World Series that year.
404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You know we always love to hear from you, interact with you guys. Find us on Twitch as we are live each and every day at ATL929 The Game. Subscribe, hit that little button, and make sure you get exclusive content from Dukes and Bell. The things we concerned ourselves with prior to the season, and some of you are like, it's not going to be a big deal. A lot of this stuff is playing out. The only thing that I'm looking at this list, Mike, that we were talking about earlier before the season started. Can Acuna find another level? Hello! He has. Okay? Freddie be Freddie. Not quite. Max Fried, Ian Anderson, build on the performances last year. Well, Fried is back tonight as the starter. Hopefully, fingers crossed, he comes back and gives us a good performance and again, starts to build on what his season is. But Marcelo Ozuna, consistency. We said this before the season started. Hasn't happened. Austin Riley, can he take a leap? Well, he's looked like at times he might, but he didn't, and he hasn't. And then Christian Pache, is he ready to be an everyday guy? Mike, how do you rate Christian Pache right now?
He had a grand slam the other day.
No, I mean, this is the argument I get into with Braves fans. I think every Braves fan feels that every prospect that comes through this organization is going to be Andrew and Chipper Jones. Mm. And I'm not bagging on Pache, but I mean, you know, a lot of high – maybe we feed into it, some of the expectations for Pache. Because, you know, there's a lot of – you're hearing about him for a while, right?
And I don't know. I mean, maybe.
I mean, you know, he's batting 154. We know what he's defensively, but I don't know. I'm not going to bag. But, you know, there's guys out there still telling us we're still bagging too early on Austin Riley. This is his third season. I'll be one with only 60 games. So I hope he gets it in gear. I hope they all find that next gear. But – not exactly impressed right yet.
Remember, it was Buster Olney who came on the show, guys, a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't Mike. Mike asked the question and said, right, is when Austin Riley going to start hitting? And then Buster Olney came on our program and said, look, this season, and think about this, this season really is about how much better Austin Riley is going to be. Because you already assumed some of the things we talked about. You assumed Freddie was going to be Freddie. Mm. You assumed Ozuna was going to come back and do the things he needed to do. And, well, Acuna was going to be Acuna. So you were going to get 100-plus RBI from those guys, or at least close to it. But what about Austin Riley? And Buster only said if he can excel, then that's going to dictate really how far this team can go. But if he's not our words, Buster only, the Braves will probably trade him. That's what he said just a few weeks ago. So I think, you know, for a guy like Austin Riley, that's looming in the back of your head. You don't go up to every at-bat and go, I'm going to get traded. But I do think he's feeling a little bit of this, man. I really do. And, you know, I'm hoping he starts raking. As we said, he had, I think it was a game last week against the, you know, Toronto, where he had four singles in the game. And you go, okay, let's build on that. But there's no way, guys, we're going to get to where we want to be, even with the win last night, if the meat of this lineup does not start hitting. 0-4, 0-5, 0-4 last night for the three guys we're talking about.
And you and I have talked about Max Fried and what are we going to get and how quickly does he get back in the groove. Do you think he over-tweaked the mechanics and some of the things or his approach this offseason? There was a lot of talk about the things he was working on before he got injured about, and again, I joked around and said, don't talk to Cole Hamels anymore. Remember, they were buddies last year. I hope he just gets back to being Max. And again, I mean, it's early days, but he has not looked like, we expect him to be like Cy Young out of the box this year to start, you know, with the first series in Philly.
All right, we're going to talk plenty about where the Braves are. Another game tonight, as we mentioned, Fried on the hill. Mike, what time are we pulling out the tequila is the question. What time? Hey, Dukes and Bell happy hour starts at
2:20?
Would you stop it?
All right, 4? I mean, what are you talking about?
All right, let's say.
You know, you realize even the Irish have stole this. They're actually, my cousins actually celebrate this in Ireland now. Cinco de Mayo in London and Dublin.
All right, we got to pick a time. We'll pull them out. We'll do.
Right, how about 3 o'clock? 3 p.m. How about 3 p.m.?
Mike, I'm pulling out the good stuff. I can't have shots at 3.
Chelsea's playing Real Madrid at 3. I may need some shots. All right.
Hey, man, coming up, we'll hit some headlines. Hawks back in action tonight. Hawks, another big night for them. And Trae Young spoke to Adrian Wojnarowski in his podcast. Had some interesting things to say. We're going to dive into that next. JB on the Twitter says, Dukes, y'all about to have all of us remote workers gone. I'm taking my first shot when y'all do, so we'll let you know, JB.
What is the line, by the way? 4 o'clock? I mean, what are we talking about?
I mean, we got to push it back a little bit. I mean, come on. We got to be productive for the first couple of hours.
By the way, what is this? You know, I mean, by the way, I'm never the voice of reason, but I mean, you know, I mean, Cinco de Mayo. I found the photo from our bartender in Vegas with that shot that's like, I don't even tell the listeners how much that shot cost, but like that super duper premium tequila that they take out of the box with like armed guards. I just put it up at Mike Belling Teal. Yeah, I don't even know what it was. You're the you grew up in Texas, man. People always ask, how do you take your tequila? I'm like, with bail money, but I hear you, bro. I mean, you're the expert.
That was good stuff, man. Look at him smiling. He's like, y'all about to be blown away. So, JB, we'll let you guys know. Right, Dukes and Bell happy hour. We're just, you know, it's Cinco de Mayo. We're having fun, no matter where you're at. Real quick, I do want to let you guys know, John Heyman, as we mentioned, is going to join us. Odyssey.com, MLB Insider. John Heyman joins the show to talk about our struggling Braves, And I use that term loosely because, again, we're still in the hunt. Nobody's running away with this thing, but we are struggling, and I think the evidence is in the numbers. Insider calls are brought to you by the Dell Technology Small Business Podference 2.0 podcast series. That's available at audacy.com/Dell. He will join us at 3:20. Hey, Trae Young went on the Adrian Wojnarowski podcast, and Woj asked him a variety of things, guys. Talked about, you know, the Olympics. Talked about, you know, Trae's input, which is kind of interesting, into the future coaching situation of our Atlanta Hawks. So, first of all, this is Trae talking about, you know, making the playoffs is just not going to do it. Listen to this.
It feels a lot better than it has been these past couple of years. Obviously, when you win a lot more, it feels great. So, obviously, just being in the playoffs is not the end goal, but being able to achieve, hopefully, being in the playoffs, it's a step in the right direction.
And I've said this, you know, I don't know, Mike, about how many killers we have on this team. And I say that, guys, when I talk about killers, I'm talking about guys that are willing to do whatever it takes to win chips. You have to have talent, first and foremost. But there's also something that makes up championship quality teams. We can score when we're shooting threes. Mike's talked about it. You know, we're one of the best teams in the league. We're hard to stop, hard to defend. But how many killers do we have on this team? And so when Trae says, yeah, making the playoffs is not enough, that's encouraging as a fan. But honestly, we don't know if Trae's a killer yet. I don't know that, and I won't know that, Mike, until we get into the playoffs, and not only this year, but the next few years and how things go. Now, you can be a killer, because I think Damian Lillard is, but sometimes you're just not good enough, you know, and sometimes you don't get to the ultimate goal, which is the NBA Finals. But if you have that trait as an NBA player and you're a star, you are more than likely going to have a chance at some point in your career to elevate your team and play for one of these championships. So that's something right now. If you would ask me, you know, all the things that I think Trae Young is, Mike, and I think he's terrific, I don't know if he's got that killer thing in him when it comes to these playoffs.
Yeah, no, again, if he's not 100%, you're not getting a chance to really evaluate what he's capable of doing. I know there's been times this year where he's been dinged up, but, I mean, we saw it. I don't want to make too much out of it. You know, he gets into it with Jimmy Butler, and they're talking some trash, and then Butler, you know, comes back. I think he's got swag. I think he's got attitude. I think Trae, what I took from the Woj podcast, he's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder talking about the All-Star weekend and other elements into the national team, but I know size-wise, you guys sometimes get caught up in that. I think that sometimes translates, well, it doesn't look like he can finish. I mean, yeah, you get that floater, but that stuff's going to get shot out of here in a playoff game. I like the kid. I believe it. First of all, I have to. It's like the Matt Ryan conversation. Whether you believe it or not, it's all we got. You know what I mean? This is the plan. So, I mean, partly, I'm projecting here. It's got to work, Carl. But I do think when he's got it cooking, I think he's as good as it is. And the numbers reflect that. I mean, the stats, when you put it up there against Harden and LeBron and the averages. Now, again, it doesn't mean anything if you're not winning. I just think if he had gone in the bubble last year, Trae could have put on a show and we wouldn't be having some of these conversations because the rest of the country would have seen the killer instinct that we've seen him display when the season really didn't mean anything 2 years ago. Well, but last year, we didn't get the bubble. We didn't get to showcase him.
No, and that's the point. I mean, we've seen these traits of, ooh, he's taking it over. Oh, okay, he's going at such and such. But I don't think the rest of the country has. And the only time the rest of the country is going to get a chance to see that is the playoffs.
Right.
The playoffs are where
it's magnifying glass, right?
Yes, where legacies are built. Trae, by the way, shooting 43%. He's averaging about 26 points when you look at, you know, how things have gone for him. But I think, again, I've always said he's a 25 and 11 or 12 or 15 guy. And he's going to be able to lead your team. He also told Woj that he loves the fact that he is a part, and he is, of turning this franchise around. Remember, we went from being a team that won 60 games, trading all these veterans away, to we're going to rebuild. Well, this is part of the process.
Yeah, I definitely have a more of an appreciation of it, of the work it takes to get, I mean, to win an NBA game. I mean, I grew up watching the Thunder constantly in the playoffs every year and things like that. And now being in the NBA, like, you understand how hard it is to really get there and get to the playoffs. So it's definitely been a work in progress and a climb for sure.
No, like he's streaky with his three. I think all shooters are like that. I think it's more about Trey when he's not feeling that floater, Carl. It kind of throws off some of his game.
Yeah, because he's never going to be a guy at his size to be able to just elevate and dunk on people, right?
Right.
So he's not playing above the rim, but as NBA guys have said to me, he's crafty. And there have been other crafty guys in the league. You know, Isaiah Thomas was crafty. Isaiah Thomas wasn't going to dunk on you, but he's got two championship rings and MVPs to prove that he's a Hall of Famer. You can be a guy that can affect the game even though you're not a high riser. And I think that's what you're talking with Trey.
Again,
it's all that other stuff that he's got to have going.
And the assist number, he's just a tick away from a double-double for the average, guys. He's averaging 9.4 assists. I think, yes, sometimes it does get stagnant, and that's on Nate. Nate's got to tell him, move, let's get things moving. Sometimes, you know, top of the key, Carl, not getting – whether it's late getting the – it's almost like the pick and roll sometimes is the only offensive thing we have, right? I do think that Trey, that's continuing to be an evolution in his game. But also think about all the guys that have been banged up. I'm not making excuses. It's just a part of it. You know, John Collins was out for a chunk. Other guys we haven't seen, you know, we've talked about DeAndre Hunter. He does have good chemistry with Capella. We've seen that. But, I mean, it's almost like, and I'll come back to it, I'm still wondering if we could do better than John Collins next year. I mean, I know I've said this 3 days in a row.
I wonder. It's a fair statement.
And that in turn even elevate Trey's game even more.
I when you talk about all these guys that we really want to see excel in the playoffs, to me, John Collins is one of them. Like, that's going to be a big determiner of how we go about this offseason and whether you want to match a potential offer for him or not. The season, I thought, if you traded him, was not even going to give us the opportunity to get into the playoffs, not knowing we were going to encounter all these injuries. But I just felt like if you traded him away, which I said all along, if you trade him, you're dumb. Let's play this out. Let's see how far it goes. But when you talk about long-term and you talk about knowing that Trey's going to be a max guy, if you want to bring in guys like Bogey and Gallo in the future, okay, because all those deals are done in 23, then you've got to think about, is John Collins, you know, a part of this core? But he's got to perform at a high level. And speaking of the playoffs, I think, you know, we go into the playoffs, we'll talk about Trey, but there's going to be guys like that, Mike, that I'm watching even closer because I need to see him – basically will not only himself, but this team at moments just to be better. Let me ask you this. It's Dukes and Bell. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hawks Suns tonight. It's a big matchup down at State Farm. Should Trey have any say in who the next coach is going to be?
He apparently was not the most vocal guy about not being happy, according to all the reports, including that big article that came out in The Athletic about what was going down with Lloyd Pierce. It sure sounds in the Woj podcast, to your point, like, yeah, he wants Nate back. Now there is going to be potentially some other jobs out there open that Nate may get some interest in. So do you feel, or do you still feel like I do? I wish I could have it both ways that we could see. Nate continues to do a hell of a job, but we see what he does in the playoffs before we give him a contract.
Yeah.
Because that, that's only knock on Nate. He just doesn't do anything with some – he's had some talent, and talent in Seattle. He had some talent in Indiana. Indianapolis, I should say.
Yeah, but I don't think, Mike, that you're in no rush. Like, why are we always in a rush to do things we don't need to when it comes to our sports teams? I don't think the Hawks have to rush to make that decision. I think they are actually, you know, having us talk about this, I think they're sitting there and listening and going, that's exactly what we're doing. We're going to wait and see. Travis Link's going to wait and see, you know, Tony Ressler, our owner, wait and see. Let's gather all the information. I said this to you guys today, Mike and Bo, today we were talking about this. If we get into, let's just say, the play-in tournament, right now we're currently fifth, which means we get a week off. God, we need it. Okay, before the playoffs would start on the 22nd of May. But if we get into the play-in tournament, and we're one of the, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 teams, and all we got to do is win a game, okay? Because this is how this thing works. The lower seeds, all you got to do is win a game, you're in. The higher seeds have to win two games. And that's how this thing's going to play. We need to win one game, Mike, and we lose two games, and all of a sudden we're out of the playoffs. How you feel about Nate then?
Yeah, I mean, it's a jumbled mess. We know, as we say, Mike Conti, by the way, does a great job of filling in what our scenarios are, where we are. Magic number right now, Carl. Clinch a top six seed is 5 wins. Okay, we want to win. We want to see Boston lose, and you know, they got Orlando this week. I don't know. I can't right now say Nate's the guy, but they certainly look. I think a lot of Hawks fans would say Nate has given them the spark. They believe in Nate. They didn't believe in Lloyd, whatever the communication was. But it's hard because I'm not seeing what Nate's doing with Cam Reddish and how Nate's helping DeAndre Hunter because they've been out there this year. Is that also part of the equation? How is Nate developing your other younger guys?
It is, because that was a part of what Lloyd Pierce, when they brought him in, was going to be, and it continues. You can't just have a coach with X's and O's. They've got to continue to develop our young talent. We still don't even know what Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter right. are going to be.
I voted yes in the poll question. So Trey's the star that's going through Trey for hopefully for the next decade. So, yeah, Trey should have a say.
All right, guys, what do you think? Go vote. Dukes and Bell 929. Trey Young talks to Adrian Wojnarowski in his podcast. Woj, one of the top NBA reporters, and you guys know that. Should Trey have a say in who the Hawks' next full-time coach should be? You can go vote. One of the choices is if he balls in the playoffs. All right, coming up, what happened to Atlanta United last night? It was ugly. Also, we'll talk more about the Braves and this Brett Favre. You can call it Brett Favre. This Aaron Rodgers debacle continues to unfold. We'll dive into all of that coming up on Dukes and Bell. Follow us on the gram. It's all about the gram. At Dukes and Bell 929, we put some exclusive content out there as well there. And Chris just told me we're about 1,000, or check that, 5 followers from about 1,000 followers on the gram. So go check that out, man, and make sure that you do that. What is talking to me? I've got all these devices on. I'm like, what is this? Well, something is on here.
Oh, it's not me. Hold on. It's not my phone.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
I got Chelsea on in the TV.
I've got like four computers here. Hold on, Mike. I see it.
Well, I hope it's nothing dirty. By the way, the joint, I found it's Hecho in Vegas, Carl. That's the joint that we always seem to go to when we're at MGM, which is when you're walking into the arena. For folks who've been out there for a fight, it's funny because our old boss should say, all you guys ever talk about is Vegas. Well, we went to Vegas a lot. But it was our Cinco de Mayo go-to because it always, you know, Canelo would always have a huge Mexican and Mexican-American draw for Sin City. So it's just kind of funny. I'm going to these pictures, man. Good time, fun time, brother. By the way, I'm glad I got my hair back thanks to a North Atlanta hair restoration because, you know, the only way you can be bald, you got to stay in shape. You got to be in shape to be bald. If you're not, you're just a fat, bald guy. You don't want to be that. You're another Uncle Fester out there running around.
That's true.
Look like an English soccer fan. I want to be that.
No, you don't.
You know, pot belly, skinny arms, bald head. Don't want to be that guy. No offense if I've just described you and you're an Englishman that's listening. But anyway, happy Cinco de Mayo. Real quick, just when can I start? Becky's already starting to mix margaritas downstairs, so let's rock and roll here.
All right. Well, you guys are, man, you're pressing the issue right now. We've got to be.
We're gonna roll into this kind of gradually. Okay, all right.
It's sort of, we got to build it up. It's like a party, right? You get to the party and they're playing old school, right? And you're like, oh, that used to be my jam, and nobody's really grooving yet. And then the party starts to amp up a little bit, and then a few hours into the party, that's when it gets going. That's kind of how it's gonna be today with Cinco de Mayo.
Boys, let's be very clear. Also, a shot and a margarita are two very different paths to walk down.
No, that's true. That's true. You can sip a margarita and be all right. But Mike's talking about shots. That's a different deal. It's a different deal. By the way,
I'm not gonna lie. I mean, it'll get sloppy. It'd be great. Fast forward to 6:30. I think the Falcons should trade Matt and Julio. Yeah, that'd be good radio. By the way, just sidebar. I was talking to you this morning. When is the statute of limitations? When does it run out for people who don't accept what the draft was? I'm going round and round with people on this. I mean, again, are we going to just bellyache all year? It's just I'll just make this brief. So I don't want to get to the headlines, but it's just we have had, Carl, some years where obviously the coaching decisions didn't work right and the team didn't function. And there's enough blame. When you win 4 games, there's enough blame to go around, including the quarterback's got to make more plays. But all of a sudden now, I just don't like being portrayed like I'm a Matt Ryan apologist. No, I'm just telling you, he's not going anywhere. So here's how we're rolling with this thing. And the new coaches might actually know what they're doing. So we might actually steal a couple of games we lost last year. I'm not saying playoffs. You think we might actually have a chance to sniff the playoffs. But I'm just the negativity. I'm like, when does it stop? Okay, here, this is it, guys. But what do we always say, Carl? I mean, the world you want, the world you live in. I mean, it's like complaining now at this point about the draft is complaining about the IRS taxing you. I mean, there's nothing more. Here we go. Let's get on with it. We sounded like we're in New York or Philly all of a sudden, which, I mean, you know, I've always liked a little more edge with our sports fans. But, geez, Louise, get over it already.
Yeah, I don't – I said this last week. I just don't know why y'all mad. I mean, I don't understand that. I just don't. If you are still upset – about the pick, and I'm guessing, Mike, it's the first pick, right? Let's be honest. This has nothing to do with guys like Drew Dolman or Jalen Mayfield. No. This is about the first pick. This was the pick that everybody thought we should have done something else, which is quarterback, instead of going in the direction we did with Pitts. Yeah, I just, guys, I don't even know what to tell you with everyone that I've spoken with, and I talked to a lot of people over the last 3 months about this draft. Kyle Pitts is special. Now, how special is he going to be in our offense? We have to wait and see. How is he going to be used and utilized? We're going to have to wait and see. But there's not one person with any NFL knowledge and draft knowledge that has said, that's a bad pick. Not one.
Right.
Because it wasn't about need. It was, if you truly want to talk about taking the best player on the board, that's what we're talking about. You know, and so if it was about need with quarterback, and we didn't need it, that would have been a luxury item. Let's be honest. Now, I know so many of you are convinced that we're not going to pick fourth maybe for another 10 years, and maybe we don't. But because of that, you were convinced that we had to go quarterback. And mm-hmm. So, Mike, I don't know when the statute of limitations is. I will simply say, if you're mad, I would hope that you would get over it and understand we got a guy that's going to help us be better right now. We don't have to wait. I don't have to wait two seasons to see how good he's going to be. This guy is plug and play, and let's go, and let's see how he impacts the game. All right, with that, man, plenty more to get to here on the show. Follow Mike. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See, Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Kwame hits us up. I guess he's talking to you, Mike. He says, stop making excuses for Trey. Even the injuries has a lot more. He has a lot more talent around him than, dare I say, Dallas with often injured Porzingis.
Okay.
I do think Bogey and Gallo have been a right. big help. I'm not going to disagree.
But we've missed
with
only the Magic and I think the Rockets have had more games missed to injury. I mean, you still how you evaluate a point guard in addition to hitting threes and doing what Trey does is to distribute. When there's another guy being called up from the D League to distribute, or this case just brought up, you know, from the roster, Carl. I mean, that's still part of the equation. We're not making excuses. There's nights where Trey. There's been three clunkers out of the last 14 games. I looked it up. It's pretty good. You know, I'll take that with my point guard with the team with all the injuries.
All right, man. Plenty more to get to. Chris behind the glass, our engineer, Bo Morgan, executive producing. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins. Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's start with first and foremost, Yanoa. Last night, I said Yanoa for the win in every single way.
And a high fly ball center. That ball is going to go. It's a grand slam for Yanoa.
So he not only hits the grand slam, he pitches seven strong innings. Tonight it's Max Fried. Fried, can you give us a health update on how you are feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm itching to get back out there. It's never like just sitting on the sidelines watching your guys go out there and play. So. Really excited to be able to get back out there and just start competing again, go out there trying to win games.
Yeah, man. I just, you know, my fingers are crossed. I don't know what to expect. I will say this. He'll be on a pitch count. So even if he pitches well and he gets pulled, don't get upset. He's coming off of an injury. They're not trying to aggravate that. So, Mike, he may go 75 pitches tonight. Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Right. And the big thing you and I have said is it's early days yet. I know you guys don't want to hear that because, as Carl said yesterday, and a lot of guys agree with you, they don't really pass the eye test. But I think you're right. You got to handle them. As much as I hate what they do with pitchers these days, this is definitely a situation for kid gloves. But we need him to hit the ground running at some point. Soroka's got to come back. Otherwise, we're going to be in a really untenable situation with this roster because we don't even know if Smiley's ever going to win a game the way he's looking right now.
No doubt. And by the way, speaking of Cinco de Mayo, Mike, that same trip, I'm about to send out a picture of us with the champ, Lennox Lewis. I'll put that out there. You guys can check it out. Chris, put it on the gram, will you? What happened to Atlanta United last night?
Yeah, we look better. Felipe Cardenas, who covers them for the Athletic. We'll get Felipe on here in a little bit, the next week or this week. But better than last game. Last game, Carl, we dominated the first half, had fantastic shots. Blake is arguably the best goalkeeper, certainly the best American goalkeeper, if not the best in MLS. Still not creating enough opportunities. It's a very soccer head nuanced thing, and I've heard Jason Longshore talk about this too. We don't really have the proper 10 like what Miguel Almiron was, and Marcelino Moreno is going to have. Guys are going to have to do some more. We need more production. I'm not sure it's going to take a minute. It might be a few weeks, Carl, before this thing hits its stride. And we're actually doing what Gabriel Hensley wants to do. Also, Franco and our guy Miles Robinson, they have had issues. Or that's what I'm talking about earlier in the week. Last night, we just, you know, they could play out of position, Carl, from strength. They had a 3-goal advantage. We needed to score 4 goals to move on, or at least force a shootout. So Philly just kind of, you know, did what they did, stymied us. And if you don't like the CONCACAF competition, which many of you guys don't, but good news is we're done with it. Now we can just focus on MLS season.
Here is Emerson Heidman talking about the lack of offense for us.
Especially first half of the first leg, we had all the chances, all the buildup was great, just couldn't put the ball in the net. And, you know, this game, it seemed like we would get up there and just not have that final ball, which is unfortunate. But it's something we obviously need to work on, we know that. And, you know, we're just going to have to work on the training pitch with it and get better.
So that's kind of where we are. There are a lot of things that have to get better with Atlanta United.
Striker's got to get going. Joseph's got to get in the mix. I mean, the way I'm not complaining like we complained about with DeBoer, because, you know, Heinze wants to kind of push the tempo. But according to our buddy Doug Roberson, we only got 3 corners in the whole game, Carl. I mean, you know, creating scoring opportunities, we just weren't doing enough of it, in a nutshell.
All right, what organization let some coaches go as they continue to try to create a new image? Also, the latest with A.A. Ron, that's what I call him. Key and Peele, if you watch that show, you guys know they made fun of him, and it stuck. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers. It's on the way in our NFL Blitz.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.